In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this fourth Sunday of Great Lent. And in these two Gospels today, the first one is about this father that has this very weak faith, and he wants Christ to cast out this demon from his son, who's making him dumb and deaf, and even trying to kill him. And the disciples try and cast out this demon, but they're not able to. And so they ask Christ why they were not able to cast him out. And Christ answers them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." In Father Milorad's sermon on this particular gospel, he talks about how there's a kind of an idea today that all you have to have is faith. You know, they just have to have Jesus in your heart. You just have to have faith. And everything's fine. You can just do anything. But he points out that Christ says we also need prayer and fasting. It's not just enough to just believe. You know, we actually have to make an effort to pray and to keep the fast of, you know, Great Lent and the other times. And that by doing so, we will draw closer to Christ, we'll gain grace from the Holy Spirit, and then we'll be able to cast out this evil that is in our midst sometimes, and sometimes that tempts and bothers us. The second gospel today is, of course, the Beatitudes. And we hear the Beatitudes every Sunday because we sing them every Sunday at the Divine Liturgy. And the Beatitudes that Christ gives us are, in a sense, a sort of an outline of all the virtues that we're supposed to acquire. You know, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You know, that's the idea, to be humble. You know, they're not full of pride and full of ourselves. And he says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn." You know, when a person, not to feel sorry for ourselves, but rather we're sorry when someone passes away from this life, or we're sorry when someone suffers some misfortune. You know, we genuinely feel that compassion. And Christ says that we'll be comforted when we have that. And all these other virtues that he talks about in the Beatitudes. And so today, on the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, as you know, you've been following probably the Sundays of Lent, and there's these themes every Sunday. You know, we had the first Sunday of Great Lent, which was about the icons and how the church triumphed and established firmly the use of sacred images of Christ and the holy saints and things in our worship, and how that's important. And then the second Sunday, we dedicated to St. Gregory Palamas, and it was all about how we should pray, how prayer is more than just saying a few prayers, but it's also drawing close to Christ in spirit. And then the last Sunday, the third Sunday, was about the veneration of the cross and how we have to take up our cross, which is all the struggles and the difficulties that we have. And so that's a very important thing. And so today we celebrate St. John Climacus, of the so-called of the Ladder. And St. John Climacus wrote this book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, which is one of the great classics of Orthodox spiritual literature. St. John was born in Palestine around the year 523, and by the time he was 16, which is a pretty young age, he became a monk at St. Catherine's Monastery on Mount Sinai, which is, of course, where Moses received the commandments of the law. And he lived in a community of monks for about 19 years, and then he, at the age of 35, lived as a hermit in a small skete about 6 miles deeper into the desert. And so he achieved great righteousness and holiness, so much so that both monastics and lay people sought out his spiritual advice. And eventually he was appointed to be the abbot of the monastery of Mount Sinai. And the day he was made abbot, people saw this particular man running around who was dressed in sort of this Jewish clothing, and he was giving instructions, "Okay, go now, set out the food and set out the beverages and whatever." And it turned out that this person was actually the prophet Moses who appeared at this time. St. John Climacus wrote his book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, really consists of 30 homilies, each dealing with one virtue and progressing from those that deal with holy and righteous activity to those that deal with divine vision. They raise up a man as though by steps unto the height of heaven. So the book is called The Ladder because, like a ladder, you know, you climb up one step upon another and you go higher. And this book, by means of these 30 steps, calls us to the spiritual life. It inspires and instructs and points out the dangers and pitfalls. Each step describes the origin of a certain virtue or passion and the path that it can take in us. So in a way, this one book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, serves as an image of the whole of sacred tradition and really represents all the writings of the Holy Fathers over the past 2,000 years that our Orthodox Church has carefully preserved. We are extremely fortunate in our times that thousands of these ancient writings have now been translated into English, many just in the past few years, and the vast majority only in the past 40 or 50 years, so that it's now possible for us to, who speak English, and unless most of you happen to be fluent in Greek or ancient Slavonic or other languages, it's fortunate now that we are able to go back and read these books and learn about the spiritual life from these ancient holy fathers. And when we go back and look at the Christian and spiritual life in the previous centuries, we see that there were a great many living saints who were able to carefully guide and advise Christians in the way of righteousness and salvation. So there was, you know, much more abundance of holy saints that were available to help people. You could go and ask their advice, and people would do that oftentimes. However, the times that we live in now, by contrast, are much poorer spiritually. We just simply don't have as many of these kinds of holy saints that are available to us. One recent Holy Father remarked that it's as though in our times now we came late to this great banquet, and it's finished, and so all that's left are some crumbs and leftovers and things. However, even these crumbs and leftovers can be very nutritious and help us to survive. And this is why the written testament of the lives of these righteous ones and the wisdom that they achieved is so vitally important for Christians today. So despite the fact that we don't have their living presence amongst us, we at least have their writings, and that's the next best thing. In the book of Acts, chapter 28, some of you may have read this story about the Apostle Philip, who is sent by the Holy Spirit, and he's going along this road, and he comes across an Ethiopian eunuch from the court of Queen Candace. And he's very wealthy, and he's sitting in his chariot. He has a copy of the scroll of Isaiah, which in those days was rather rare and very expensive. And so the eunuch is reading this prophecy of Isaiah, and he was, the Apostle Philip, when he comes along, says, "What are you reading?" And he says, "You know, I'm reading the prophecy of Isaiah." And then Philip said, "Well, do you understand what it is you're reading?" And he the passage that he was reading referred to the coming of Christ, and he said how he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and so forth. It was that particular passage. And when Philip asks him this question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" the eunuch replies, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so Philip goes up and sits in his chariot and explains to him about Jesus Christ and how he was the Messiah that the prophet Isaiah was foretelling, who would come and save us from our sins and so forth. And so the eunuch is just amazed, you know, and he says, "Well, there's water here. What prevents me from being baptized?" So Philip baptizes him, and then the Holy Spirit whisks him away. And the eunuch undoubtedly goes back and tells everyone in his country about Christ. The important thing here for our purpose today is that this passage in the book of Acts gives us a clear illustration of our need for the instruction and the guidance of the Holy Fathers to help us understand the Christian faith. And so there's another example of this. I think we've all heard of St. John Chrysostom. Of course, we usually use his divine liturgy most of the Sundays of the year. And St. John had, of course, wrote many books and things, and especially devoted to the Apostle Paul. And St. John Chrysostom had a disciple whose name was Proclus. And so in the meantime, St. John is now writing commentaries on all the epistles of St. Paul. So this Proclus was doing a little eavesdropping, and he's listening at the door of St. John's study, and he hears somebody else's voice in there with St. John Chrysostom, and of course he wonders, who's this other person? You know, nobody else is supposed to be in there. because they, you know, they thought maybe they're trying to distract him or disturb him or something. So finally, this went on for a couple of nights, and so Proclus couldn't resist anymore. So he looks through the keyhole to see if he can see who it is that's talking to St. John Chrysostom, and he sees this person, and he wonders who this is, and this person is whispering into St. John's ear, and St. John is writing, you know, these commentaries of St. Paul. Well, later, after St. John Chrysostom went out, Proclus went into his study, and there in the study was an icon of the Apostle Paul. And St. Proclus recognized that the person who was speaking to St. John Chrysostom was actually the Apostle Paul, who came from the other world, to explain to him the finer points of his epistles. And so when we read those epistles of or the commentaries of St. John Chrysostom, we're actually also getting the inspiration from the Apostle Paul himself. Later, in the early 4th century, when St. John Chrysostom lived, there were many people who were criticizing him and didn't like him and were trying to say he was a bad person and so forth. And there was another saint whose name was St. Isidore of Pelusium, and he defended St. John Chrysostom against these critics. And one of his famous quotes is that St. Isidore said, "Paul is the mouth of Christ, and Chrysostom is the mouth of Paul." And this is a very famous, you know, patristic quote. So it shows the importance of this whole lineage that we have of one Holy Father instructing another Holy Father all the way down to the centuries until our present times. And so, again, we just want to, the Church wants us to contemplate this today in terms of this book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, and what that represents. Great Lent is one of the really best times for us to plant spiritual seeds that will grow and bear spiritual fruit. So when we read spiritual books like The Ladder of Divine Ascent, this good seed is actually planted in our souls. Our hearts and minds are uplifted, and we are inspired to draw closer to Christ in preparation for the time when we will leave this world and hope to be counted worthy to join Him in His heavenly kingdom. And as it says in step 26 of The Ladder by St. John, "Let us try to learn divine truth more by toil and sweat than by mere word, for at the time of our departure, it is not words, but deeds that will have to be shown." So here St. John is giving us instruction to take those words that he writes and to practice them, because by practicing them and putting them into action, this is how we will really learn about our Christian faith. So may God bless you in these final weeks of Great Lent to plant abundantly so that you may reap abundantly. Glory be to our God.